We really think of matcha as the espresso of the tea world. Anything you can do with espresso from a signature drink and presentation standpoint or from a straight cup of espresso, you can do the same thing with matcha.
Welcome back to the Fifth Wave podcast. I'm Jeffrey Young, editor-in-chief of Fifth Wave. In today's episode, we're swapping our coffee beans for tea leaves and speaking with Nathan Koski, executive vice president for Rishi Tea and Botanicals. Founded back in 1997 by Joshua Kaiser, Rishi Tea was a pioneer in bringing premium loose-leaf tea to the North American market. Today, the brand supplies a wide range of high-quality teas, powders, and infusions to coffee shops and restaurants all across the US. The business also has a significant B2C presence online and also in retail. In our conversation, Nathan shares the latest tea drinking trends in the US and how American preferences have evolved in recent years. He also highlights how hospitality businesses can increase their tea sales through the use of storytelling and ceremony to deliver an elevated experience to their customers. Welcome, Nathan.
So great to be here.
I wonder if you could give us a bit of background on yourself.
Certainly. So I was bit by the passion bug for specialty beverages, really at a young age. I was with my mom in a small town coffee shop in Green Bay, Wisconsin, just really drawn in by the atmosphere of specialty coffee, not so much the product, but the way the coffee shop made us feel welcomed, feel reprieved from the daily hustle of everyday life. And that feeling really carried with me. When I was in university, I wanted to pursue this passion of coffee that was really growing inside me. So I studied coffee as a barista, throughout the Chicagoland area, and was really fortunate to have training from some of the great coffee roasters of their time, Metropolis Coffee in Chicago, Micro Roaster of the Year a few years before I had passed through there, really took coffee rigor to the extreme and left an impression on me and specialty, especially coffee and what it can be. But they also took rigor to the tea world and served Rishi Tea, which I was really fortunate at the time to see firsthand how regular customers would engage with tea. They would come into this coffee shop because we brewed green tea at a lower water temperature. And as a barista studying coffee, I was kind of, didn't know what to think about that, but it really left an impression on me as those thoughts sat with me over time. Went on to Coca-Cola and saw beverage from, you know, big business from a different lens. And found myself several years later being back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the headquarters and tea factory of Rishi Tea, and wanted to reignite that passion for specialty beverage. And had seen that throughout some of the great coffee institutions that I had observed and as a consumer and worked in, the one thing that stood out to me was that there was a great tea program alongside of it, and Rishi had their hands in it along the way. So I thought, well, what a better lens into the world, especially coffee, than to see it from the tea side.
Great. Could you give us some background on Rishi Tea?
So Rishi Tea was founded in 1997 by Joshua Kaiser, who was born and raised in Milwaukee and at a young age traveled throughout the world and throughout his travels in Southeast Asia and beyond with a cup of tea and loose leaf tea, and was really drawn in by that experience, by the storytelling, the history, the romance of it, the nuance of flavor, and thought, wow, you know, the American market and my local market in Milwaukee is really missing out on this beautiful experience, this beautiful ceremony. And so he sought out to make premium tea experience from an organic, direct trade, off the beaten path sourced model, accessible to the North American market. So he started loose leaf tea in a time when, you know, loose leaf tea wasn't really a thing in the United States. And so really pioneering in its day, trying to be a trendsetter, not just to bring traditional, classic impressions and expressions of tea to consumers, but innovate and find ways to meet consumers where they are, to bring them into a tea life over time.
What's the background to tea in America? How important is tea to the U.S. market?
Without a doubt, it's a coffee drinking market in North America. You know, tea that has been consumed over the ages in the U.S. has primarily been iced tea. But there has been a growing movement. I'd say we're about 15 years behind specialty coffee in terms of really appreciating the nuance, the storytelling, the impact of aroma and complexities and taste with tea. And we've been growing alongside the specialty coffee market here. So today, most premium specialty coffee roasters have a well-curated tea menu that they've sourced with the same intentionality that they've curated their espresso blend, their signature blend, their rotating single origins. That same intentionality is starting to carry over to tea, and it's a beautiful moment.
Wow. I'd love to unpack this idea of how tea has evolved into a kind of a hot drinking beverage in the United States. Any kind of landmarks, any kind of things that you think have started to change the game? Why are the specialty coffee roasters putting so much effort into tea today?
Well, I think coffee is a beautiful beverage, you know, but there's also something beautiful about the atmosphere of a coffee shop. And as there is emerging consciousness about caffeine consumption, as there's emerging consciousness over desire to, you know, stay in control with a zero proof and, you know, alcohol-free movement, there's a consumer desire to spend time in away from home coffee or dining or beverage consumption environments, but not necessarily drink alcohol or not necessarily overindulge on caffeine. And so, you know, I think that that has been part of, you know, baristas, coffee shops having an alternative beverage that can share similar stories of artistry, of terroir, of the growing region, and the taste in the cup, and complex aromatic and flavor components that really kind of shine in a cup, similar to how we celebrate, you know, these nuances in specialty coffee. And so a way to carry on that conversation that we've started in specialty coffee with a consumer and bring and introduce new beverages that can deliver that same expectation of excellence in a cup, but also can deliver the desire for, you know, mindful consumption in the afternoon or the evening time. And so through this, there's a business opportunity for coffee shops to realize sales and you know, other day parts of the day that coffee consumption, you know, isn't as strong. And so there's been a financial incentive. There's also, you know, a taste incentive. I think as we bring premium taste to the market, baristas are so well equipped to cup coffee to appreciate the nuance and the same very similar set of procedures of cupping and evaluating coffee applies to tea. And so we're able to bring these techniques to baristas to fully appreciate and share this passion.
And what are some of the most popular types of teas, you know, format in the American market, you know, that you see through your sales? What are consumers gravitating to?
Direct to consumer, it's a little different across the various market segments. So our direct to consumer is, you know, really gravitating towards a loose leaf tea experience, you know, wants to have either traditional or kind of American style brewing methods. So traditional would be brewing in a Gaiwan or a Kyushu, or American style would be maybe a modified French press that we have. It's called a simple brew. So brewing in larger quantities for larger times. And so a loose leaf tea experience really drives the majority of consumer experience. Certainly there's the convenience factor of sachets as well. It's a little bit more closely split, but still leaning towards a loose leaf tea experience in the coffee world. And then sachet experience in a more commuter area or a place that has lots of to-go business, or perhaps more franchise scalable multi-unit locations where turnkey and consistency is a cornerstone of the program. The sachet program works really well. In our restaurant and dining establishments, we really see the consumption being primarily driven by sachet experience versus leaf.
And what types of teas? Talking about black teas, white teas, green teas, what flavor profiles are people looking for?
So it really all starts with the classics. You know, we love to innovate and bring new flavor concepts to the market, but Earl Grey, English breakfast, you know, your classic jasmine profile are on most menus, whether that be hospitality or restaurants or coffee shops. There's definitely a consumer demand for chamomile, peppermint, some type of turmeric ginger blend are all kind of the cornerstones of building a specialty coffee and tea program, regardless of the venue. From there, it's really an opportunity for innovation. Matcha is absolutely on fire right now. You know, we really think of matcha as the espresso of the tea world. And so anything you can do with espresso from a signature drink and presentation standpoint, or from a straight cup of espresso, you can do the same thing with matcha. You can whisk up a bowl of single origin, direct trade matcha and have the full matcha ceremony around it. Or you can, you know, make a matcha shot and apply it to signature beverages. So that's the fastest growing category of tea consumption that we see in the tea market. And it's growing all throughout the coffee world.
And iced teas coming back in more of a premium format? Do you see much of that happening?
Indeed. I think two things are happening there. I think one is higher quality iced tea in commercial brewed settings is definitely having a moment right now. But also iced drinks in general are trending. I think iced drinks is maybe 5 years ago, it would have been a hot chai latte, which would have been, you know, most commonly served in a hot matcha latte. Today, the chai latte is maybe 50-50 split, iced and hot, even though we think of that beverage to be a traditional hot consumed beverage. And then matcha lattes definitely skew as served over ice. And I think the younger consumer is definitely trending towards cold drinks. And so finding a way to innovate with tea powders, with loose leaf tea syrups, there's many different ways to really capitalize on that trend and bring innovative, interesting, and delightful experiences to consumers.
You said loose leaf tea syrup. Tell me about that. So that's pre-infused syrups? How does that work?
You know, the beauty of tea is the versatility of tea. So you can drink tea hot or iced. You can drink tea with milk, but you can also use tea in mixology or in syrup applications. So making a strong infusion of tea and then mixing it, you know, to your recipe 1-for-1 or 2-to-1 with sugar of your choice to create a tea simple syrup is a really great way for a coffee shop to have control over the flavor and the sweetness and the artistry of their syrups in-house.
So you mentioned higher quality. Are you talking about premiumization?
That's exactly right. I think that as we have navigated these last several years, it's definitely been a difficult moment for operators, you know, facing with COVID pressures, changing foot traffic patterns for coffee shops and restaurants, inflationary pressures of commodity prices. And so there's a hesitation for some operators to explore a premium tea program or premium beverage program in general. And, you know, I think that our solution for premium tea and recommendation to operators to explore is different for coffee shops as it is for restaurants. But there is, through COVID time, there has been a growing movement of consumers home brewing their coffee and their tea. and becoming more familiar with the nuance and the specialty nature of these beverages, very particular in their brewing methods and fully understanding and connecting to some of the stories behind these beverages. And so when these consumers are emerging back into the away from home environment, there's a greater demand that we see for consumers to enjoy similar or elevated beverage experiences away from home. If they're going to pay a premium for a beverage, they want to make sure that it's as good or better than what they can enjoy at home. And so for coffee shops, using tea as a way to take advantage of afternoon day parts and evening day parts when coffee sales traditionally are less and carry over that beautiful storytelling of origin and terroir and nuance in aroma and flavor in the cup, I think is why I would encourage a premium exploration of tea on their menu. And then for restaurants, it's really tea is served either with a meal or it's often served on the dessert menu. And so if a consumer is enjoying your food with a perhaps less artistic expression of tea with it, it's going to damper their impression of the whole operation. And if it's the last thing that a consumer has in their mouth is an unpleasant cup of tea, that's going to leave a lingering impact. So for 10 to 15, maybe 25 cent cost differential to upgrade to a premium tea experience, restaurants, coffee shops, hospitality locations can really deliver an exceptional experience to consumers and meet or exceed their expectations from their home brewing days.
We often see in our data that still consumers and not quite there yet in coffee shops with tea, certainly in this country. I wonder whether it's the same in the United States, where especially the British consumer here doesn't really value the tea experience. They're kind of, the coffee's the thing they can't make at home. And actually the Brits are so precious with the way they make tea that they don't really want anyone else making it out of the home for them. Or if it is, it's a tea bag experience and they go, oh, well, that's not really added value like a barista would add value. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about some of the challenges that you're facing in the US, or is it different to what we're seeing here in the UK with tea drinkers?
I think the US consumer has a different relationship with tea. That's not always been a positive one. If we think back to the early days of Boston Tea Party, and I think some of that sentiment has perhaps lingered and carried on. And so the relationship with tea is a little bit different. There's a little extra nuance to it, perhaps. Brewing of tea in home for American consumers isn't quite as robust or particular. We're starting from a more neutral place in education around tea that baristas are able to display artistry and nuance with. And, I think there is definitely a strong English tea culture in pockets of the US and certainly here in the UK. And I think that there's some beautiful stories with that and beautiful ceremony with that. There's also so much with tea that transcends that kind of British experience with tea. Tea is one of the original beverages of the world. A lot of the teas that we're sourcing are from the birthplace of the specialty tea or tea movement. It's Yunnan, China, Thailand, Myanmar, parts of the world that are a little bit more off the beaten path and have some of the most storied histories with tea, centuries of techniques passed down and artistry passed down from families to families, and a tea drinking culture that has expanded through China and Taiwan and Japan that is very different than the milk tea culture that English breakfast or an Earl Grey delivers. And so we're in a position to be able to share some of these beautiful stories and views into culture from perhaps a more neutral position.
How do you see the tea category in the United States evolving over the next 3 to 5 years?
I think there is definitely a moment for tea right now. The tea category in general is growing in low to single digits as it has for the last several years. But the specialty tea movement is growing, 12 to 15%. CAGR over the foreseeable projection future here. And so we see that growth with specialty tea, even surpassing specialty coffee growth by most accounts in the U.S. market. And so this moment of tea is a beautiful thing for us to embrace. As more consumers trial tea, I think we're going to see an expanded menu of hot tea offerings beyond those classics that we mentioned before, beyond the black tea, Earl Grey, and English breakfast, and a chamomile and a peppermint blend, to really explore and create space for oolong tea, for puar tea, for different inspired blends in the botanical world. I think that we'll see a continued innovation with powders in tea, whether that be, you know, matcha being a gateway to that, but hojicha powder, and through hojicha and matcha, which are both Japanese, you know, signature teas, an expansion of the world of tea through other Japanese teas on the market. And then I think, you know, tea as a way to innovate in the menu, whether it be signature expressions of drinks in coffee shops with milk tea options, or whether that be with mixology, as we mentioned, tea simple syrups, different ways to bring a tea experience to a consumer, not because it's necessarily a tea experience, but because it's a way to deliver a tasteful experience to a consumer that's a twist and an innovation and a way to differentiate your business.
Just a final question. Bubble tea. Are you playing in that territory at all, or is that going to be something that will continue to grow in the United States?
We're definitely seeing bubble tea trending today. It is, you know, both pop-up boba locations, some franchises are expanding, as well as home boba kits and retail settings. I think there's lots of different entry points to a tea life, and boba may be an entry point for some consumers. It's a fun way to interact with tea. And so I'm not sure if it's going to be a trend that stays around or not. But it's, you know, in terms of embracing the opportunity to bring consumers into a tea world, it's definitely exciting. What we're seeing is, as boba rises, there's been a decrease in the kind of mall or tea retail concepts of yesterday, thinking about teas that often are sweetened, teas that often have artificial additives to it and flavorings to it. I think, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s, that was definitely a growing trend in the U.S. market. And that's been kind of replaced. That sugar need with tea has kind of been replaced with boba. So really, coffee shops are the institution and authority for specialty tea in their local communities, in the retail setting at least. Maybe a small and curated menu, but it's definitely done with intention in many places.
Great. Nathan, thanks for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
And that's all for this week's Fifth Wave podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe and share the link with a friend or colleague. Also, if you're on Apple or Spotify, we'd really love a 5-star review to help us increase our reach across the industry. To stay informed, visit worldcoffeeportal.com to get access to all the latest global coffee news, including the weekly coffee dose, collecting all the big coffee news stories. Links are in the show notes. This episode was produced in the one and only Serendipity Studios in glorious Camden, North London. It was produced by myself, Jeffrey Young, Hannah Heath, and sound engineering by Chris Bristow. And this week's song, in collaboration with the Coffee Music Project, is Something New by Nashville-based artist Christy Krause. Until next time, stay safe, stay passionate, and stay coffee or tea caffeinated.